Okay, so here is how this particular game is going to work. We're going to be adjusting the characters just a little bit. First of all, and this will become clear why in a little while. First of all, you are going to have none of your powers or special abilities at first. You get to keep all of your base stats. You get to keep your normal AC, except for what you get from your armor. Other than that, at the beginning of this game, you are not going to have any of your like normal abilities or spells, etc. Excuse me. However, you all start with improved unarmed strike, like as if you were a monk. You don't get the monk's attack dice, but you get improved unarmed strike so that you don't provoke attacks of opportunity, etc. For this game, while you're going to be using your character sheet, and please feel free to play this character as if it's your character, your character's name is backwards. For example, Sadra. Your name is now Ardeus.
All right, that's going to be a lot of fun to remember.
Cone's name is now Nock. Let's see. Keen is now Nick.
Nope.
Brumin. Is, Namrub? I think. Namrub. Yeah, that'll work. Namrub. Making sure I got it all right. Yep. All right. Now, in the aside from the world, there are other worlds, other planets that you could get to if you're able to travel far enough. Beyond those, there are other planes of existence that if you have the right spells, you could potentially go to what some people might call another way of existing. Another place to get to. However, you could go even further, which a lot of people usually don't, and usually don't get to experience other dimensions, where it's not just that it's another planet or another plane, but a whole nother realm where you exist again, where there are potentially doppelgangers of everybody, and potentially there are millions, thousands, who knows how many of these things, based on different decisions that different people may have made. There is one particular one where there is an advanced city known as J-Pan. And here in this city of J-Pan, you are nondescript people working nondescript jobs at a nondescript insurance agency. And today, you all are on your lunch break at a nondescript cafe in the middle of this nondescript city of J-Pan. Except you all know that you are not nondescript. There is something very special about you that you tend to keep secret from everybody. But right now, it's just time to enjoy a nice cup of coffee or some tea or perhaps a bagel with your lunch. As you're sitting at this cafe, a waitress comes along to you. Now, this waitress is actually a robot on one large wheel, and she stops in front of Ardeus and pulls out, and a piece of paper juts out of her side, which she tears off of the roll, starts jutting down. Okay, what you be having for lunch, sir?
Ardeus will look over the menu and And these are our characters, right? Essentially?
Yes.
Okay. Then RDS will look over the menu before closing it and say, "Hey, turkey and Swiss sandwich with a cup of tea, please."
Gobble whole and white water. Okay, and what about you, big furry one?
Me?
Yeah, you're the only big furry one around here. What'd you be having?
Something fresh.
Okay. Yeah, we got lettuce. And, he looks over at Nick. Okay, you, short one. I mean, tall one. What you be having?
Oh boy, what Artichon's getting sounds so good. But, I don't know. Nem-senpai, what are you ordering?
I don't know. Do you have any specials of the day?
Oh, we got specials. We got some of that rhinoceros meat, we got elephant souffle, and we got this new thing. It's light and fluffy and covered with these red fruit things. I personally don't see what you all see in that. I'm perfectly content with the oil souffle myself, but hey, to each his own.
Marshmallows?
My what?
Are you talking about marshmallows?
Ah, no, not marshmallows. Those are nasty. They get stuck in my gears. I don't know why you people do that. Don't they get stuck in your gears? No, he calls it something about, straw cake short. I don't know why you wouldn't want a tall one, but hey, maybe it's cheaper.
We'll try that.
Eh? Okay. One short straw.
Oh, goodness, I'll get the same thing.
Okay, and a double on the short straw. Okay, be right back with those. And she wheels off to the kitchen and emerges just a moment later to, wheels out of the kitchen, emerges just a moment later to take some more people's orders. And after a few minutes, the orders come out. They're put in front of you, and she says, "Hey, as they say in that German place, bon appetit." And she rolls away. Next to the booth that you're all sitting in, there is a little kid who is playing on the floor with what looks like a small train rolling around. And as she pulls it back, it rushes forward and makes a curve and bumps into Nock's foot.
Hey, you lost something here.
She walks over to get it and stares up in wonder. Wow! Mommy tells me stories about the big bunnies, but I've never actually seen one.
Well, today's your lucky day, I guess.
She just seems overjoyed. Whoa! Hey, how high can you jump?
Want a demonstration?
Yes, please. She looks just overjoyed and she starts jumping too.
He'll give a big jump.
Whoa! That's amazing! I want to see you do it outside. Come on! And she will reach up and as far as high as she can to try to grab your hand. If she can't quite reach it, she'll just grab a tuft of fur along your side of your leg and begin trying to drag you outside.
I'll shrug and go outside.
Hey, where's Cone going? I mean, Knock!
I'm gonna jump as high as I can to see, so this girl can see it.
Oh boy!
Try not to get in trouble.
How would I do that?
Alright, as the little girl drags knockout, little girl drags knockout side, and you're not maybe 5 feet from the entrance when she turns around and says, "Okay, right here, without the roof. Wait, can you jump on the roof? That would be so cool!"
Got a 25 for jumping.
Yeah, you easily jump up, clear the roof and land on it, and you hear her cheering below you. And as you get ready to jump back, you notice something coming around the corner, and instantly, two things happen. One, there is a figure that suddenly grabs the girl. And two, everybody else, let's see, actually, I'm going to have Nevrub make a reflex save.
A natural 20.
You almost see it before it starts flying through the air, but you just tilt your head to the side as a rock about the size of your head whizzes through the window and lands behind you. The rock then starts to grow, and it sprouts legs and arms till it's about half the size of you. You all know what this is. This is a rock.
What?
This is a rock goblin, a vile creature. Everybody gets up and starts running around screaming, "No! Look out, the rock creature!" And it is going to capture all of you. I'm going to need initiatives, please.
Not again.
Excellent. Give me just a moment. I'll have the initiative order in the list for you. All right, Denver, you are first. You noticed it coming in, so you are the first to react. You got a rock goblin behind you, and it looks like it's up to some nasty mischief.
All right, and you said we're doing everything unarmed strike?
That's right.
All right, well then, he'll turn around and punch it.
Punch away.
Okay, so it's a 19 on the die. What do you want me to add to it, or if anything?
Add your melee attack bonus.
Okay, 37 to hit then.
Oh, that hits easily. Roll your damage, which I believe is a 1d4 plus your strength bonus.
Spider-Man. 8 total. Spider-Man. Oh, wait. That's one less for each of those if the belt is not active currently.
Okay. I mean, that still hits, and that still does a decent amount of damage on this thing. You punch hard, and you see that there's a chunk of a leg that falls away, so it stumbles a bit, but it's still walking. Neek, your turn.
Okay, Neek is going to... Let's see, are they inside or outside?
You guys are inside.
Still inside. Neek's going to say, "Hey, I wasn't done with my shortcake!" and shove the rest of the shortcake into his book bag. Can you do anything else?
I guess you can get up. Yeah, that's it.
All right, he'll stand, slinging the book bag behind him, so that he can have his hands free to fight.
Artius, your turn.
Alright, are we all reasonably close to this thing that a 5-foot step would get us to it?
Yes, it would.
Alright, then recognizing this thing as the horrible monster that it is, question, do rock goblins generally attack on their own, or are they usually a part of a group?
They're usually part of a group.
Okay, keep an eye out for the rest of them. And then she's going to step forward and use a full round action to go ahead and flurry of blows as she drops into a fighting stance. And she will start out by calling out. She'll say, Nornkith, Shearer's attack. And then she will attack with her full round. And these attacks do count as silver, if that matters.
No, that's fine. And give yourself a +2 for shouting out the name of your attack.
Okay. Alright, the first one is a natural 20.
Okay, that crits.
Just a second. Alright, so the first one's natural 20 crit. The second one is a 14.
A 14 does not hit.
Alright, then an 8 would also not hit, but a 25 for the fourth hit.
That hits.
All right. Okay, so two hits, and the first one is going to be a crit. So the first one is literally roll a 1 on the crit. Okay, the first one would be 3 × 2 is 6 points of damage. And the second one is 4 points of damage.
Okay. You take out chunks, you go whack whack, and you're taking out chunks out of the side. It's, yeah, it's looking pretty bad. It's still standing, but looking pretty bad.
Okay, that's full round action. So that's it.
Knock. While you watch the young lady is get, the little girl is getting grabbed by somebody. There are also 2 more of these rocks that roll up to where the girl was and kind of fold out into these rock goblin things, and they're both staring up at you.
Cone is going to leap into action, but I rolled a natural 1, so Cone is actually stuck in a flashback. And he is remembering how his sister, even though he doesn't have one, was kidnapped by these rock monsters before, and he's just zoned out.
Alright, he zones out in his flashback remembering the horrid evil of these monsters. Alright, it's their turn now. That rock troll seems pretty upset at all of you, and so his arm is actually going to grow a little bit. And it extends into a very evil-looking spear, which is going to try to attack. And it's going to attack Ardias with. That is probably not going to hit you. 13 hit.
I'm working out my modified. A 13 would not hit, no.
Okay, yeah, it just thrust forward with its enhanced arm, but nope, it can't lay a finger on you. You are just too skilled. We're back up to the top. Nimrub, your turn.
Is the thing still next to us?
Yes, it is.
Alright. And we're using our regular base attack bonus, yes?
Yes, that's right.
So, is he close enough for a full round attack?
Yes, he would be.
Alright, he'll try that. And he'll yell out, Flurry of Fists, because, you know, even though he's not a monk, that's what he's doing, right?
Yeah. So you also can add a plus two to your attack.
Okay, well, they're not going so well so far. 23 for the first one.
That hits.
Fourteen for the second one.
That misses.
And then 24 for the last.
24 hits.
Eight for the first one. And eight for the second one.
How do you want to do this?
Flurry of Fist it to pieces and grind it down into dust.
As you get into position, your hands become a blinding storm. And it's more than the thing can keep up with as it gets hit from the left and right, left and right. And eventually it's pulverized just into itty-bitty rocks, which just roll away from each other. But while this is happening, you hear a commotion outside. And you see two more of these creatures have rolled up. Neek, it's your turn.
Are there any glasses of water around on the tables here in this cafe?
Yeah, you probably find them everywhere.
All right, Keen is going to grab two glasses of water and run outside to help face these foes.
Okay. Ardeus, your turn.
All right, seeing the new foes, Ardeus is going to run outside to go fight them. So she will charge one of them. And can she swift action to smite the thing?
No, smite is not currently available.
Sad times. Alright, then she will just charge it. And as she runs outside, then she will call out again, Nornkith Shears, as she takes her swing. And as she does, her fist glints almost like she's holding a silver blade. That is pretty good. It's a natural 17. So that would be 30.
That hits.
All right, and that is 5 points of damage.
Excellent. I'm not pushing the button. Okay, excellent. Nulk, you're up. You have remembered the evils of these things, what they did to your sister, and it has rallied you to attack them.
All right. I will attack with my feet of fury.
Okay, add two for a name in your attack.
20?
A 20 hits.
I don't usually do unarmed attacks. What's the dice?
D4, I believe. But for this, roll D4.
Okay. Alright, got a 2.
Roll a trip attack also.
That's on a d20, right?
That's right.
I got a natural 1.
Oh, okay, never mind. Your landing is not real hard on them, and they're able to kind of push you off so that you land next to them. I was going to see if you were able to knock them down.
Are you doing the flurry of blows thing? Can I do that with my feet?
Because you had to jump down there. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And this time, it is their turn, and they suddenly fold up and start rolling away. So if the people who are next to them want to attack our opportunity, they can take it.
Absolutely. That is another 30 to attack.
That hits.
Four points of damage.
Okay, Nock, you're going to take an attack opportunity.
Yes, for my sister's honor.
Give yourself a +3 to damage now.
Alright, 13?
13 unfortunately does not hit. It rolls, it's pretty swift the way it's rolling. Neek, you're close enough too.
Alright. Neek is going to have an internal monologue. When I was in my science class, I learned that both rocks and metal are subject to erosion by water. So I grabbed this water to help me in my attack. And he's going to use the water, like the glass and the water, as a kind of a splash weapon and do a ranged attack on the nearest fleeing creature.
Well, it's an attack of opportunity. So tell you what, I'll give you that you can kind of like just thrust or kind of break the water glass on the thing if you want to.
All right, Neek winds up and does an elaborate spin and then comes smashing down with this on the thing's back, yelling, "Science rules!" And that is a 26 to hit.
Roll an intelligence check, please.
That's a 15.
Okay, yeah, that's good enough. From your science class, you remember that, yes, this is true. This should work. You splash it on him, and what's the damage?
Did you say 1d4 for damage for this?
Yes.
3!
Yay! You don't hit it that hard, but as the water splashes on it, the part where it got it, like chunks of rock start to just fall away, and it starts leaving a trail. So you actually get to do an extra 5 points of damage for that.
Woohoo!
But as they're rolling away, your watches start beeping. All of you are wearing the Apple iWatch 25.
My watch, it's beeping!
Immediately, Ardias is going to straighten up and just straighten her clothes out. And just back to completely level and serene.
Paul furiously pushes buttons on the watch.
You all see the image of Commander Yimusak appearing before you. And she says, "Listen up, everybody. We've just received a very disturbing report. Give me just a moment." There it is. "We found out that Dr. Hijoshiki has returned to the city of Japan, and he's bringing an army with him. We need the heroes of Japan to go out and stop it. Furthermore, we've also received spy reports that he's searching for a little girl who apparently is the key to all of his plans. I don't know what this insane man is doing, but I need you to take care of it. Can we count on you, heroes of Japan?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. But they have already captured the little girl.
Ah, then he's one step ahead of us. Heroes, authorization for the nanites is... the use of the nanites is now authorized. Go get him. And as soon as she disconnects, little nanites start jumping out of each of your watches.
Sugoi!
The nanites pour out and cover your arms and your hands. Then they extend out to the rest of your body as it forms new armor and a new suit all around you. For you are the guardians and the heroes of the city of Japan. You now have access to everything on your character sheet. However, Nimrub, I need you to tell me what your superhero outfit looks like and the name of your superhero.
It looks like shiny angel outfit, I guess, with wings included.
Awesome. And what's your superhero name?
Can I get back to you on that one?
Sure. Neek, what does your outfit look like and what's your superhero name?
Neek's outfit looks super metallic and like 80s retro trendy. It's got lightning bolts inscribed on it, and his nerdy glasses are replaced by really cool goggles, and he'll be known as Night Owl.
Artius, what's your superhero outfit look like, and what's your superhero name?
All right, her outfit looks very similar to her armor in game, actually. Kind of a black undersuit with silver and gold plates on it, although she wears a white hooded cape with a pink interior, and she is known as Cat's Eye, and she carries multiple pistols, but one of them is exceptionally oversized and awesome.
Nock, give me your superhero outfit and your superhero name.
Okay, Super Turbo Atomic Ninja Rabbit.
Yes.
Okay, yes. And the picture of it is there, but obviously he's black. And the costume is dark blue with red highlights instead of vice versa.
All right, and Nimrub, you are Captain Celestial?
Yeah.
Excellent. The heroes take to the streets, and you're able to follow the trail that one rock goblin had left. As you follow the trail, you find a group of more of them, but some of these, they're bigger than the others. As they turn and look at you, there's three of them who suddenly extend their arms out, and they form axes at the end of their hands, and they are now coming after you. One moment, please. All right, there's the initiative order. Captain Celestial, you're up first.
All right. How close are they?
20 feet.
All right. And all of our gear is as on the character
as
sheet?
As normal. Yes.
Fire blade included?
That's right. Plus, you've got nanites working for you now. So if, you know, you think of something cool that the nanites possibly could help you with, you possibly could get a bonus for such things.
Noted. He will charge at the closest one and declare fire blade attack.
All right, go get him.
Forty-3 to hit.
That hits.
Twelve regular damage and 2 fire.
He is a little shocked that you move in so quickly, as almost as if you could fly, and as you strike him, he starts feeling, you know, the burn, and little chunks of rock are coming off. Now, you have more attacks? Oh, no, wait, you had to close the distance. Okay, as Captain Celestial, Night Owl, your turn.
Okay, so Night Owl, I totally forgot that I was Night Owl, is going to press a button on his wrist and materialize a nanite motorbike beneath him that roils with black smoke and can help him maneuver far more quickly. And that's all he's going to do. Oh, no, he has to yell out as he does it. A dark wolf appear.
All right, you have a nanite empowered bike under you that has the head of a wolf at the front of it. And when you honk the horn, it goes woof. Cat's Eye, followed by Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit.
All right, how many of them are there in front of us?
Immediately in front of you, or 20 feet in front of you, there are 3 of them, although there are a bunch of them beyond that.
Okay, and one of them has already been hit by the...
Captain Celestial.
Captain Celestial? Okay. Then Cat's Eye will, go ahead and not actually move, technically, but she will launch herself up into the air, probably 50 feet, 60 feet or so up into the air, as she brings around her oversized pistol, she will say, "Eye of the Hunter," as she will focus, and she's going to do a full round of shots on them, and she's going to start with the one that Captain Celestial has already hit.
Give yourself a +2 on each of the attacks.
All right, first one is a 29.
That hits.
Second one is a natural 20.
Excellent.
So let me go ahead and roll damage on those two, because that might kill this guy. Are these evil, by chance?
Yes, they are.
Alright, then 29 points for the first shot.
Excellent. He's still living. Not by a lot, but he's still alive.
And 108 points of damage for the second one.
You blow him to smithereens.
All right, and as the shots come down, almost like missile strikes, she will turn the remaining three shots on the next one. The next one is a 10 against touch.
Against touch? No, that does not hit.
All right, and then a 22 against touch.
That does hit.
All right, then that one will do 32 points of damage.
It's reeling a bit from having so much of its body blown away. It's like there's this crevice inside its abdomen, but it's still walking.
All right, then she will lightly land back on her feet and flip open the revolver as the casings drop out onto the ground, and she reloads it.
Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit.
All right, Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit is going to use a mote of time to suit up and make everyone watch his theme song. There you go. And then prepare his first attack with his Super Turbo Atomic Mega Rabbit Ninja Sword.
Alright, you begin preparing your Super Atomic Ninja Sword, and all of a sudden, everyone around you is like time warps just a little bit, and you hear this music in the background. The rock creatures are bewildered, looking around. Where is this coming from? What's going on here? Who are these people? And scared, one of them is going to lunge forward and try to attack the rabbit. Does a 20 hit you?
Wait. I still get to attack.
Oh, sorry.
Because I was using a mote of time to pause time for everyone to have to watch that, and now I'm going to attack with my rapier. So
okay,
I got a 16 to hit.
16 is not quite enough to hit.
And a 17 to hit.
17 does hit.
Points of damage. And did anyone else attack these people? Like, could I be flanking them at all?
Yeah, I'll say you could hop around to flank them.
Okay. I will do that dramatically.
And how many points of damage did you say you did? Show me what you
have learned. It was 12, but I'm going to add some to it. Nine more points of damage.
You knock it in just the right spot, and as a chunk of rock in the very middle of his chest pops out, he follows it down to the ground and just crumbles down. He's dead. The last one that's left looks around at all of you, grunts, and the blades on his axe grow a little bit further as he starts spinning. And he attacks everyone at once with a 25. Does a 25 hit any of you?
Is this a ranged attack?
No, it's not. So that's right. If you're back there, then no. In that case, it would just be targeting Captain Celestial and the Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit.
It does hit Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit.
It does not hit Captain Celestial.
Okay. Okay, that's just 15 points of damage. All right, Captain Celestial, we're back up to you.
All right, can we see the girl in question?
No, you don't see a girl around here, just more of these rock creatures.
Okay, but we presume that the rock creatures took the girl to somewhere?
That's your hope. Apparently, this doctor person was after the girl.
Okay. He will fly up a little bit so he can see everybody and everybody can see him. And while he does so, he lets go of his sword and draws out a javelin. The sword floats off to the side. Another sword floats off to the side. A bow comes out and starts hovering over him. And a spear comes out and hovers as well. And he looks at all the rock people around, rock goblin things around, and says, "Take us to your leader, or suffer the consequences." And he would like to roll intimidate.
Go for it.
Forty-one, though technically he can only intimidate one, but I'll leave that up to you.
They all run away. Okay, so you get an attack of opportunity on the one that's standing next to you. So does Super Atomic Ninja Rabbit person.
Yes, I get hit by it.
33 to hit.
That hits.
At 12 regular damage, 4 fire, and it's up to you as to whether or not you want me to roll for all the other weapons that are floating and can melee attack.
No, we'll just say that they all pretty well hit, and this thing gets tripped up and is demolished into dust before it hits the ground. And at this point, all of you hear a voice booming above you. "Well, the heroes of Japan come to see if they can best my army of rock giants and trolls and whatever those things are." You look above you, and there is Dr. Hijo Shiki standing atop the building, and he's holding the girl in his arms. She is she's gagged and muffling and trying to struggle against him, but he's too strong for her. "If you want to save your precious city, I suggest you come up here and face me." And then he will just back up. He's far enough back that you can't see him over the top of the building.
Whose turn is it next?
We're out of initiative right now.
In that case, Cat's Eye will click her boots of speed, and then she is going to full round run up the side of the building if the nanites will allow it.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, then that should double her speed, and then it's quadrupled. So her speed is 30, so 60 quadrupled. Is that enough to get up the side of the building?
Yes, it is.
All right, then she will run up and leap up the last bit, hanging in the air momentarily before landing in a crouch with her pistol out.
Night Owl will ride his motorcycle up the side of the building as well, to follow.
And Cone will jump dramatically up.
Nemo fly.
All right. As you all fly, ride, or jump, or parkour up to the top of the building, the doctor is walking backwards with the girl in front of him. It's too difficult to get a shot on him without possibly injuring the girl. And he looks at you all. Oh, so glad you come to the party. And look at all of the party people you brought. I brought some guests with me, too. He reaches into his pocket, pulls out a remote, and pushes a button. The ground beneath you shakes. And one of the buildings, just a few behind him, the top opens up. And out of it comes a giant tentacle. And then seven more, as a giant octopus emerges, and he begins to wreak havoc on the buildings. At this point, you know that as powerful as your nanites are, you don't have nearly the firepower you're going to need in order to stop this thing. That's when your commander comes back onto your wristwatches and says, "Heroes of Japan, I'm sending in the robot. Get ready."
Holy takoyaki, I think we'll need it.
Only a moment later, you see something burning through the sky as if a very large comet was descending to Earth. Except as it comes in, it starts forming a shape. It starts forming a shape that resembles a large man, but you can obviously tell this is your giant robot. The foot gingerly lands on the building next to you, and the top of the right foot opens up, revealing a door for you all to run into.
Finally. And not a moment too soon.
Nick rides his motorcycle dramatically through the entrance with it dematerializing right as he reaches the threshold. He trips, but he does not fall.
Super turbo elevators take you up to the chest and the head. And you all get to your stations. And give me just a moment, I'll tell you what you get to do with this thing.
Do I get the head this time?
Here are the stats for the giant robot. And here's what happens. Captain Celestial and Night Owl, you each take an arm. Your control consoles pop up with controls for operating each of the arms, the right one and the left. Cat's Eye, you get a console that is operating the legs of this giant robot. Super Atomic Mega Rabbit, you get the Nanite console. And currently, it's blank. You've just got a computer with a keyboard in front of you, but you can type commands into this keyboard, ordering the nanites that make up this robot to enhance different parts of the body, form new weaponry, whatever the situation demands for the enemy you're facing. And currently, a few buildings across from you, there's a giant octopus that's wreaking havoc.
Captain Celestial Senpai-sama, I'll take the left arm.
You all close the distance into this thing, and it turns and sees you, and it raises up its tentacles to defend and to attack. Captain Celestial, you've got the right arm. You go first.
First, I don't know when I can go.
That is when. I've got the initiative in the chat
now.
Alright. Is the robot holding anything, or like just use his fist?
Right now he's not holding anything. We've got to wait for the Nanite controller to make something. So right now you've got your fist.
Alright. Can I hold action for the Nanite controller to put a weapon there?
You can if you want. Currently, you've got an attack of plus 30 and a damage is 3d12 plus 20.
Okay, then he will just power punch with the right arm.
Okay, punch away.
40 to hit.
A 40 does hit.
I'll have 11 points of damage.
Are you rolling 3d12?
Yes.
Okay, 11. Yeah, you get a plus 20 on that also.
Oh, right. Plus 20. That's the important part. 31 points of damage.
All right, you punch it. It's squishy. You don't seem to have done a lot to it as your arm just bounces back. Night Owl, your turn.
Okay, Night Owl yells out, you should be ashamed of yourself picking on little girls! And he yells out, slap of shame! And slaps with the left hand.
Okay. And you can add a plus 2 to your attack.
Awesome, then that is a 51 to hit.
51 does hit the giant squid.
And 41 damage.
All right. This one's, you seem to have hit something a little vital, and it cries out in pain. Cat's Eye, you've got your legs. The legs can move, or they can kick.
Alright, we're already close enough to punch it, so can I try to use the legs to, like, step on a tentacle to keep it from being able to get away from us?
Yes, I'll let you do that. That's going to be... the legs are going to make a grapple check. And you're going to add... you know what? Yeah, you're going to add a plus... 30 to your grapple.
Okay. Then she will do that as she draws up one of the legs and then slams it down at one of the tentacles, trying to pin it so that it cannot proceed into the city. Ooh, that's a 47.
That is just enough. Okay, you've got it pinned. It can't move. Or at least you've got it grappled. It's not moving right now.
Okay, excellent.
Super Atomic Mega Rabbit, you've got the console in front of you. What do you... There are no real instructions with this. What would you like to type into the console?
We're still battling the giant octopus, right?
Yes.
All right. Chopstick attack. So they're gonna form giant chopsticks in the hands to attack the octopus.
Excellent. Okay, the hands... You are now armed with giant chopsticks. However, it is the squid's turn, and it is very, very upset with you all. It gets a 38 on his attack, which... A 38 is good enough to hit the giant robot. Wait just a moment, I have to find its attack again. And its tentacles rise up and start crack, 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 crack. Incredible muscles in these things. and it's knocking off nanites that are forming the monster left and right, left and right. And the you're getting some readouts about the hull. You are down to about 80% hull integrity.
Oh no!
Because you got, actually, you are down 1/5, so you got 4/5 still left. Because you got 500 HP, and it just did 100 points of damage. Captain Celestial, you've got the right hand, and you've got chopsticks. Now, okay, so lunge forward. You can lunge forward and stab it. The chopsticks will give you an extra +5 to your attack, and you also get an extra. Roll an extra 4d6.
All right, who's in the mood for sushi? And he will use his chopsticks to try to twist one of the tentacles into a circle thing.
This would be enough sushi to feed half the town.
45 to hit.
Oh, 45 does hit.
So 50 plus 21.
That's 71. Okay, you're poking it hard, and it looks very displeased with how you are jabbing it in the eye and the different parts of the tentacles. You are ripping out some flesh here. Night Owl.
Okay, Night Owl is going to, say,
even the empty hand can be a lethal weapon, and yell out, karate,
as he does a chopping motion onto the squid.
You've got a chopstick in your hand.
Oh, I have chopsticks too? Oh, okay. Well, in that case, he's going to try to grab a hold of the nearest octopus eye and squeeze it with the chopsticks.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can't think of anything cool to yell out for that. That is a crit fail. So that would be a 36 to hit?
Yeah, as you stab forward, something's going wrong with the bonding mechanism, and you're trying to get it in the eye, but this tentacle, like, jumps up of its own accord, wraps around your chopsticks, and yank them out. When he does yank it out of your grip, then the nanites respond by simply dissolving. Cat's eye. Legs again.
Alright, so I've already got him grappled. Can I proceed to try to, like, bring my other foot over and try to, like, do a pin to, like, stomp down on the body and just, like, push it down to the ground?
Yes, you may.
Then she will call out as she does this. And can I use a swift action to smite it?
I'm going to say yes, you may.
All right, then you'll have to decide what kind of bonus that gives, because usually it's your charisma modifier to attack, which for her would be a +9. But she will call out from her position and say, not so fast. You're not getting away from us.
Yeah, and since it's you at the controls, I'll go ahead and give you the +9.
Okay, so that is a natural 19, plus I believe it was a 30.
Yes, 30.
No, plus the 9. So that's a 49. It would be a 58 to pin.
Yes, That is enough.
As she brings the second foot down right across its face and eyes and just crushes it into the ground.
It is pinned. And, all right, Super Atomic Mega Rabbit, it's your turn.
All right, I'm going to use the power reserves to enhance the shield, enhance the hull or whatever.
Okay, extra nanites are flying around. There's, you see this kind of swirling cloud of nanites around the robot, and then suddenly, the hull is getting healed, and you guys heal 50 points of damage. So you back up to 450 now. Okay, the thing would really rather that you're not stepping on it, so it's going to try to break free. And it fails. Not by a lot, just barely. It's really trying hard to squirm its way out of this pin, but it can't seem to move properly. Captain Celestial, you got the right arm again.
Right, he'll try to use the chopsticks to not only take one of the tentacles and things, he'll also try to give it a little bit of a hairstyle while he's at it.
Do it.
Do you want to hit?
That hits easily.
Total.
Swing! As your amazingly razor-sharp chopsticks scrape across the thing's head, the hair just kind of swirls in place, and he's got a decently looking nice haircut. And next is Night Owl with the left hand.
Night Owl is going to yell spaghetti and try to pull off a tentacle with chopsticks.
Go for it.
All right, that is 50 to hit.
50 hits.
So I'm rolling 3d12 plus 46?
That's right, plus 20.
16 plus... 13 is 29 plus 20 is 49.
Okay. You don't manage to rip off the entire tentacle, but you get half of it off, and it yells out in pain.
We should put this guy out of his misery.
Alright, Night Owl, we'll say that you've got him pinned with one leg, and you can do something, or with one knee, and you can do something else with the other leg if you'd like to. Excuse me, Cat's Eye.
Alright, then looking over and hearing Neek say we should put him out of his misery, then she'll respond by saying, I think you're about right. We'll do what we always do with vermin. Crush them under our heel. And she's going to bring her heel down, and she's going to attempt a coup de grace. since it has
go
been.
Go for it.
Woohoo.
So I believe, yeah, that's going to be a natural 14 plus 39, so that's a hit.
Yeah, that hits.
So it's a natural, it is a crit, auto crit, because it's pinned, it's helpless. So what was the damage for the shoe, for the boot?
For the shoe, it's a 3d6 plus 10.
Okay. Alright, so that is 20 points of damage, but for a coup de grace, I forget what the DC is that he has to pass to keep from just straight up dying.
I'll say it's
a crit, so I don't. So it's 20, I guess, times 2 crit modifier, probably?
Yes.
So it's a 40 points of damage, and then I don't know what his save for the coup de grace is. Just a second.
I'm pretty sure it's the amount of damage taken plus something. I can't remember the rest.
I can't remember if it's 15 plus damage or 10 plus damage.
There's his fortitude save. And no, he barely doesn't make it. How do you want to do this?
She brings down the heel and just there's a squelch as the squid pops underneath the robot's boot. And then she'll just kind of look over at the captain and say, "Sorry, Captain. I may have messed up the sushi. Shall we go get the little girl now?"
While you're saying this to the captain, Dr. Hijoshiki has flown over in a jetpack to this building to watch his handiwork and notices that you have squashed his octopus. And he gets scared, turns around, and starts flying away with the girl in his arms. But you are in a giant robot.
Super Atomic Mega Rabbit, do you think you could give us wings?
Necessary, but I can also do the Super Ultimate Mega Jump!
As the rabbit enters in commands on the computer, nanites swirl around the feet, and suddenly there are some very large springs attached to those feet.
And the helmet sprouts rabbit ears.
Yes.
It's used for a bit of navigation in the air. But only Cat's Eye has control of the legs. You've got to make it count, Cat's Eye.
Okay, then she's going to go ahead and make her attack. That is 52.
Okay, you're just jumping to try to catch the guy, so we'll say that you easily, yes. Whether by rocket propulsion or by just these amazingly super springs that are in the feet, suddenly you leap into the air. And you are right behind the doctor and the girl, and I'm assuming the two hands work together to simply come together and trap him.
Of course.
You bring them down to the ground where the police are waiting for you, and you lower them into the waiting arms of the officers, who are overjoyed, and everybody applauds you as you come out of the boot of the robot. And they come up to you and say, "Heroes of Japan, thank you. What would we do without you?"
Cat's Eye is going to look over towards the captain.
Well, the captain is still just on the display on your watches. And she says, "Well done, team. Well done." And then there's an alarm that goes off next to her. "We just received reports that... oh, no. There is a 25-foot slime ball coming in from the ocean. We need your help." And as you rush back into the robot to fly away to meet this new threat, everyone around you seems perfectly content and perfectly at ease, for they know that they are protected by the heroes of J-Pan. And that's where we'll end.
Hooray!
That was ridiculous fun.
Thank you, Dicassus.
You're welcome. And thank you for indulging me, everybody.